It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
3-2 pitch. Fastball belted deep right.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Monday, July 6th edition of Overtime. We may as well call it Flo Balogun Day. Hopefully, Team USA triumphant tonight against Team Belgium. 7 o'clock on Fox. Flo Balogun back in the lineup for now. Belgium saying they're going to appeal this decision. We will wait and see. Coverage tonight from Seattle, 7 o'clock on Fox. Your afternoon matinee. Portugal and Spain, little border matchup there. 2 o'clock on Fox later on this afternoon. Still so much to get to on this Monday edition of Overtime. Latest NFL news, NBA free agency, trade breakdowns, and more. And of course, we'll keep you company all the way to the top of the 1 o'clock hour with the good, the bad, and the ugly. It has been more good than bad and less ugly lately for those Minnesota Twins, who got another win yesterday and another series victory against the New York Yankees. Byron Buxton was dinged up. Here's Twins manager Derek Shelton on the injury that might keep Buxton out a while. We don't know any other details than this right here for now.
Yeah, I mean, re-aggravation of the hip. I think it was a situation, you know, after the steal. I mean, he had to go hard on the ball that Weathers knocked down, and then on the second one, it kind of grabbed on him a little bit. So just, you know, it's one of those things where we got to make sure that we stay, we stay ahead of it.
That's Twins manager Derek Shelton. More from Shelty here on the importance of lining them up and knocking them down. Minnesota has won 6 of their last 7 series. If you're remembering correctly, the series that they lost, they were swept by the Dodgers just last week. But outside of that, it's been mostly really darn good for Minnesota. Here is the manager, Derek Shelton, on what it means to get by the Yankees on the road yesterday.
That makes me feel good, because the last time I was here was a playoff series. It was a playoff series, and we lost twice. So to come in here and, take nothing away from it, they're going to get healthy. This is a really good team. I mean, they got two monsters sitting over there that are coming back at some point, you know, freed through a live BP today. But to be able to come in here with a young group and be able to get 2 or 3, really proud of our group.
All right. So like I mentioned in hour number one, the Yankees lose, the Cowboys lose, the Lakers lose. Everybody says, okay, that's fine and dandy for the team that beat them. What the heck is wrong with the New York Yankees? Here is Doug Glanville on what he thinks of the Yankees right now.
They're a good team. They're a really good team. I don't think they need a lot, actually. Part of it is the X factors of being healthy, and Aaron Judge, if he comes back, that's the best trade acquisition you could have in probably MLB history, right? Just getting him healthy. The athleticism that they got about 2 years ago, when they got like Jazz Chisholm, when they made moves to get Bellinger, Goldschmidt, what it was giving the Yankees a chance to be able to win a lot of more ways than the 3-run home run. And that is something that's different culturally. When you lose a guy, they still have guys like Bellinger who can play first and left and center and right, all that. And the challenge, I remember we talked to Boone last week, and he said, when Grisham comes back, that's going to help us because they can then put people in the right place. That's a big deal, because you can miss a guy that's not necessarily like lighting it on fire offensively, but they're able to give you the best defensive option. So they need to get healthy. They need to get healthy in certain positions. And once they get hot, then all of a sudden they can rattle off 10 and win 10 in a row.
All right. There's an opinion on the New York Yankees. Should the team be worried? Here's Buster Olney on the Yankees and their concerning play of late.
Aaron Judge, the captain who really never publicly criticizes his teammates, came out last week and in very muted terms say, I've seen a little bit of a lack of focus, which for Aaron Judge, who thinks so carefully about his answers, that was like him screaming, like, we got a problem here. Then over the weekend, they face the Minnesota Twins, who have, through history, been their Washington Generals, and they lose to them. So, as we go forward, the concern is real. This is not merely a blip. This is a concern. They have to start playing better.
Twins win yesterday 6-1. Their new record is 44-47, four games off the lead in the American League Central, which belongs currently to the White Sox with a one-game margin lead over the Cleveland Guardians. They beat them yesterday 7-6. Cubbies beat the Cardinals 6-4. Royals over the Phillies 5-2. And Detroit scored a win as well 6-3 over Texas in Arlington. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins are off. Phillies will meet the Royals at 1:10. Brewers at Cardinals 6:45. Rockies and the Dodgers collide in LA at 9:10. More from Doug Glanville here. What teams are going to be big buyers at the deadline or just active at the deadline?
Well, I look at teams that are the ones that are they're just more than just barely into the wild card mix. You know, they're teams that could really get deep, win divisions. I think that what would be different is watching the Milwaukee Brewers do something, you know, really aggressive, because, you know, they're just a talented team that can give teams a nightmare by the way they play baseball. But the challenge is they don't necessarily have the resources to make those aggressive moves without, you know, giving up some of their talent that they need for their future. So those teams and those maybe markets could be really interesting, because they're already a really good, sound organization, and they've proven it every year in, year out, that they're always near the top, or if not at the top.
And that's Doug Glanville right now. So maybe it's the Milwaukee Brewers for reference for the Minnesota Twins. Should they buy? Should they sell? Should they sit on their hands at the deadline, which is the beginning of the month of August? Minnesota, again, four games back in the division. Easiest way to get to the postseason: take care of your division. Win it. Well, if Minnesota doesn't win it, where do they stand right now in the wild card race? They are fifth in the wild card race. There's three spots. They currently trail the third spot by just 1.5 games. The Yankees, Guardians, and Rangers occupy the three. Minnesota just behind Houston, one game back. Minnesota 1.5 for the third and final wild card spot. Over to the WNBA yesterday, Indiana Fever got a nice road win against the Aces in Vegas, 84-68. Tonight, the Lynx return to the floor. They'll be home against the Connecticut Sun, 7 o'clock, and Minnesota is a 13.5-point favorite in the game. And over to the world of the NBA. All anybody wants to talk about, thank you, LeBron James, right back into the driver's seat of the storylines for the offseason. LeBron James is not going to be a Laker moving forward. So the obvious question is, Tim McMahon, what teams are the favorites for the King's services moving forward?
Where do you think he goes is like the first question that people ask each other around the league. I'm out here at Salt Lake City Summer League, and I can't tell you how many times I asked that question or I heard that question. And look, Cleveland is considered the favorite. People are just connecting dots here. This isn't based on intel. This is based on the speculation game. But there's a storyline in it. You know, LeBron's in his hometown of Akron, hanging out with his high school teammates, including one, Brandon Weems, who is a front office executive for the Cavaliers right now. Now, there is a belief that there are other teams, kind of the wild card teams, the Sixers, the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, that feel like they have legitimate chances, and the Nuggets are an especially intriguing situation for the simple fact that they have a three-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. They have the proven core of a championship team. LeBron does have relationships with people in the building, including at the top of the building, Josh Kroenke, the chairman, the day-to-day ownership presence. You know, Jared Dudley was a championship teammate of his with the Los Angeles Lakers. He's now an assistant coach there. Peyton Watson, a restricted free agent, also represented by Rich Paul. That's an interesting little dance. The Clippers also have interest in him, by the way. But again, imagine LeBron and Joker, two of the most brilliant basketball minds of all time, sharing the same team.
Certainly would be an appealing landing spot. Chris Canty also agrees Denver could make a lot of sense for LeBron James.
The Denver Nuggets is absolutely intriguing when you consider the fact that Nikola Jokic is contract extension eligible and has been for a year and still has not signed said extension. The Nuggets have a clutch client in Peyton Watson, who they are at odds with when it comes to a contract extension. And then, of course, championship DNA within the organization, but you've also had upheaval over the last several years in the organization. We're a year removed from the head coach and the general manager both being ousted. So I do think in a lot of regards, there has to be a lot of urgency for Josh Kroenke in the Denver Nuggets to make a pitch to LeBron James to get him to join their franchise, because they're a team that needs to desperately find a way to get back into the mix when it comes to Western Conference supremacy.
Yeah, you feel that way for Denver, certainly with the ascension of OKC. That was persona non grata from a Denver perspective last year at this time. Now you get San Antonio on the upstart. They're ahead of Denver, just like OKC. Minnesota's making maneuvers and moves. Denver needs some sort of spark, and maybe it's going to come from the oldest player in the NBA in LeBron James. We will just have to wait and see. In the golf world, on the scorecard, Chris Gauthier was 20 under par to win the John Deere Classic. And next up on the scorecard is an event that Gauthier won last time around the calendar, Genesis Scottish Open, running Thursday through Sunday. And a reminder, the Open will open at 16th through the 19th of the month of July. Into the World Cup, Norway better than Brazil yesterday, 2-1, as Norway sends Brazil packing, earliest exit in quite some time for Team Brazil. And lastly, from yesterday, England beat Mexico 3-2. The Team Mexico had not lost yet in the World Cup at any stage, and they do fall and are exiting the World Cup following a 3-2 victory for Team England. Today at the World Cup, Portugal and Spain collide, 2 o'clock on Fox. USA meeting Belgium, 7 o'clock on Fox. But all of the drama surrounding this game has been upped as of last night into this morning. Flo Balogun, who was not going to play, served up a red card in the win over Bosnia-Herzegovina, had the red card suspended, which means he's going to play coming up tonight. And safe to say, it's a lot of people unhappy about this one. Here's Jake Zivin on the reaction to Balogun's red card suspension.
Honestly, I was astonished this morning when all the alerts started coming through. I didn't think there'd be any possibility this could happen. You know, there were conflicting reports about whether or not there was any sort of appeals process. Maybe there's not a formal appeals process, but there's always a way for things to get changed, right? For rules mm-hmm. to get overturned, and FIFA has a judicial panel with, you know, kind of a line or two in the World Cup guidelines that say essentially they can do whatever they want, right? I mean, if something is wrong, they can make it right. I didn't think it would happen for this because I think, well, I don't think it's a red card. I think it's close. And often when moments are close like that, you're not going to have them be overturned. Ultimately, I think it is the right result, right? Like, he shouldn't have been sent off. It shouldn't have been a red card. He should be able to play. So they got to the right result. I understand why countries all over the world will maybe be perplexed by the process. I mean, you heard Belgium's coach joke it's the April Fool's Day on July 5th. Norway's coach after the game, pretty strong statement about it as well. But look, the U.S. will be happy. And I think when you look at it big picture, it is kind of the fair result. But I think what people don't like is that sports isn't always fair, right? That's part of sports, is you have to deal with the unfairness of it. The United States aren't going to have to in this game, and it's huge for them getting flow back.
It is a big storyline, and frankly, as I said in hour one, and I'll tell you again right now, the call on the field, on the pitch, if you will, was egregiously wrong, was not a red card. They serve up the red card. No red cards are challengeable. They don't have instant replay to say, okay, never mind. They don't get it right. And also, red card means next game you're suspended. And this is an issue. They got the call right. The player's back in the game. That's awesome. But the big issue here that everybody seems to have, and I'm also feeling a little bit weird about, is the issue that no other nation has this ability, at least not really, that we've seen so far. The rules have not been bent. They have not been challenged. Team USA comes calling, and now we get Flo Balogun back, which is a boost for Team USA, who I, like you Americans out there, would love to see win tonight and win the whole darn thing. No doubt about it. But do you want to win by getting gifted a rule change that we haven't seen yet in World Cup history? Not necessarily. I want to beat the teams when they're at their best. I don't want them to be dinged up or dented up or complaining about a foul or complaining about a call or the mismanagement. Be at your best. I would love to beat Belgium at their best. That would be great. But now, no matter what happens, we're kind of entering this no-win scenario. We win tonight, win next round. Everybody's going to be saying, yeah, but. And that doesn't sit great with me. And certainly the question can be asked, if it wasn't Team USA, would this have happened? And Alejandro Moreno says, I'm not so sure.
Do you think it would have happened had it been a Belgian player? Mm. Had it been Kevin De Bruyne, one of their key players, if he had gone through the same thing? Would that red card have been reversed? And the answer to me is unequivocally no. Historically, this has not happened. And so it looks like preferential treatment. It looks like the United States are benefiting from it because they're the host country, because they're the United States. And that's not the image that you want from this World Cup. The United States on their own as a team on the field, they've proven to be a very competitive team. And it seems like they're getting help from somewhere else. And it's not the look that you would want for this team. It's not the look that this team deserves.
There you go. That's exactly the point here. Are you happy you got Balogun back? Yes. It's the method of getting him back that alienates everybody else in the tournament, apparently. That is not so pretty. And frankly, here, we mentioned this in hour one. I'll mention it again if you're just joining us. No red card has been suspended in World Cup history dating back to when red cards made their debut in 1970. So, yes, this is a first-of-its-kind maneuver, first-of-its-kind decision by FIFA. Not a good look, but away we go. Go USA tonight, 7 o'clock on Fox, as USA favored to win against Belgium plus 145. And Team USA right around the ninth best odds to win the entirety of the tournament as of this morning at DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. As always, for a better local banking option for you and yours, check them out in person in the 605 or online at ReliaBank.com. Former Augustana All-American volleyball standout Erica Butte has been named the next head coach of the Augustana volleyball program. This went down just last week. Butte returns to Augustana following her first full season as head coach at Bemidji State just last year. She earned her head coaching position after serving as an assistant on the team during the 2024 season. The native of Alden, Minnesota, Butte had a decorated college career as a student at Augie, student athlete, and certainly a lot of different accolades, including dominant player in the NSIC, two-time NSIC Libero of the Year, four-time All-NSIC honoree, and the 2023 NSIC Outstanding Senior of the Year. We'll look to link up and have coach on the show before too long. Erica Butte, the next head coach of Augie Volleyball. South Dakota State Wrestling has a big new item on their upcoming calendar. They'll square off on the mat against the University of North Carolina in a wrestling duel to be held at the Sanford Pentagon on Friday, December 18th. Ticket sales and broadcast info will be determined at a later date. South Dakota State will be participating in their 13th duel ever at the Sanford Pentagon. Jacks are 10-2 all time in Sioux Falls, including last year's victory over Arizona State. SDSU has won at least 12 duels in each of the last 5 years under Coach Hahn, who is entering year number 9, leading the Jackrabbit program. Well, big news from down in Vermilion. You can start to plan out the college football season as the promotional schedule has arrived. Ag Appreciation Day is going to be game number one at home, August 29th against Central Connecticut State. You'll see Dakota Days on October 3rd against Indiana State. Hall of Fame weekend, October 10th against the Salukis. Youth Day, Senior Day, Military First Responders Appreciation, all lumped in there. You can find all the details, plan out your fall and into the winter for football season at GoYotes.com. Well, the Sioux Falls Canaries have won 4 games in a row. They struck for 7 first inning runs yesterday and smacked 9 doubles in a 16-15 win against rival Sioux City. The Canaries are now 24-22. And despite the near 500 record, are still among the best teams in the West Division. They are just 2 games out of first place in the West, and they'll be back in action on the road Tuesday night at Chicago. Minnesota Twins All-Star center fielder Byron Buxton left yesterday's win against the Yankees following the first inning after a hip aggravation. Buxton appeared to grimace as he was tagged out by New York shortstop Anthony Volpe. Buxton was replaced by rookie Kyler Fedko when the Twins took the field. It marked Buxton's first time caught stealing in 38 tries since May of 2024. Buxton saying after Minnesota won the series at Yankee Stadium yesterday, a little sore, didn't feel too hot, so being a little more smart than trying to fight through it. And this would be the time of the year to take it easy. You want pedal to the metal, prime Byron Buxton when you need the wins the most. Probably already rest him up all the way through the All-Star break. We'll wait and see what the plan of action is for Minnesota moving forward. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. When we come back, we're going to dive in to some NFL news, including one former notable Green Bay Packer finding a new home. Rasul Douglas has been in the mentions for a reunion in Green Bay, but unfortunately, not saying never, but not this offseason. He's got a new home as of this morning and updates you on that and other NFL storylines you may have missed over the weekend. Latest NFL news on the way, NBA free agency, trade talk, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. All before we're done on this Monday, July 6th edition of Overtime, right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Monday, July 6th edition of Overtime. Ready, set, climb. Play Quick Stars Mountain Dew Quick Climb and score cash right now this summer. Now through August 16th, you can play free every day inside the Quick Rewards app. That's daily cash prizes that climb up to a $250,000 payday at the top. Buy select Pepsi-Cola beverages to earn bonus plays. Your summer, your climb. Your win with Quick Stars Mountain Dew Quick Climb, only a Quick Star. Full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. And a reminder that Quick Rewards app is absolutely amazing. And you can order ahead in the app today and get your favorites like pizza, fried chicken, take-home meals, and more. Get the payment taken care of ahead of time. Pick it up in store or have it be brought out to your vehicle curbside. All with the Quick Rewards app. Let's get into the latest NFL news of the day, and we'll get that breaking news first. The hottest news on the market is not a big deal, but might be a big deal to some Packer fans out there listening that were hoping for a reunion with Rasul Douglas, who revived his career in Titletown a couple years ago, a couple stops since that time, and now has a new home. The Commanders are adding the veteran cornerback as of this morning, agreeing to sign Rasul Douglas to a one-year deal. The deal is worth up to just $3.8 million. Quite a bargain for somebody that can come in and possibly be a starter for your team. Douglas turns 31 in August, appeared in 15 games for the Dolphins last year, had 13 starts, finished the year with 2 interceptions, 13 passes defensed, a forced fumble, and a sack. He's entering year number 10 in the league and has played for the Eagles, Panthers, Packers, Bills, and Dolphins, now a member of the Washington Commanders, also spent time with the Raiders, Texans, and Cardinals. Philly also brought him into the NFL as a third-round pick, so a lot of different stops for Rasul Douglas and a nice career continuing as of this morning. Well, an update from last week on the Brendan Sorsby situation, the NFL Players Association and the embattled quarterback will not be pursuing litigation after the NFL's decision not to hold a supplemental draft this year, which means we are just about ready to turn the page onto the next chapter. Instead, Sorsby will shift his focus to prep for next year's NFL draft. We have confirmed with the NFLPA and Brendan Sorsby that there will be no further litigation regarding his entry into the NFL, and that instead, Mr. Sorsby will focus on his preparation for entry into the league via the 2027 NFL draft. After the NCAA ruled him ineligible to play because he wagered on college sports, Sorsby was issued a temporary injunction by a Texas court to clear his path to play at Texas Tech. But when the Big 12 filed in federal court with aims to punish Sorsby and Texas Tech, Sorsby withdrew his suit and declared for the supplemental draft, which ended up being announced that it wasn't going to take place. Here's what Sorsby said as of last week, which I, all caps, love this from Brendan Sorsby. I accept 100% responsibility for my actions. I did not have control of my gambling problem, and it took getting caught for me to realize that. But it was truly the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Because of this, I've been able to get the help I need and fully focus on my recovery. The news about the supplemental draft changes nothing about my recovery journey. I will continue to take it one day at a time, focusing on making myself better throughout the process and making sure to share what I've learned and will continue to learn with others going forward. Fully committed to being the best version of myself that I can be while getting ready for the NFL draft in 2027. God makes no mistakes, and I will look forward to seeing the good that is to come from this. That is a great next chapter in this saga that was anything but good. It was horrifically ugly for Brendan Sorsby, the NCAA, Texas Tech, the transfer portal, the modern era of collegiate athletics, gambling integrity, sports integrity, and then shifted all up to the NFL and said, would you like to inherit this? And they said, no, thank you. And now we're seeing this from Brendan Sorsby. I love the class here. Rooting for the guy now more than ever, and really would love to see him succeed in the NFL, especially a year removed, a year recovered from the gambling addiction he suffered from in college. And hopefully puts it behind him. Somebody invests in the young man. And when he gets into the NFL, hopefully he can be buoyed around him by other resources from the National Football League as he attempts to revive a football career in a game in which many accounts he absolutely positively loves. Got to be rooting for Brendan Sorsby moving forward. Really tough news when we were gone on break about former Titans and Cardinal running back Chris Johnson, who announced that he has been diagnosed with ALS, been battling ALS. And now he's calling for the revival of the Ice Bucket Challenge to raise awareness of the illness and disease as he fights the progressive nervous system disease. The Ice Bucket Challenge, of course, all the way back in the summer of 2014. That was 12 years ago. Somehow, people took a video or photo as they got a bucket of ice water dumped on them, and they would challenge friends or relatives to do the same. According to the ALS Therapy Development Institute, the drive that summer helped raise $135 million in the United States and over $220 million worldwide. Seems like a very worthy venture. Johnson attempted to boost the cause once more in an Instagram post on Wednesday, 2 days after announcing on Good Morning America that he has ALS. He said after he was inspired after watching former Utah men's basketball player Hunter Meacham post an Instagram video in which he dumped ice water on his head to honor the 40-year-old former running back, Titan Cardinal running back Chris Johnson, East Carolina Pirate, a dude that was unbelievable in the NFL. All the best in recovery, and also Ice Bucket Challenge potentially right back underway with Chris Johnson helping and doing his part to battle the disease he is currently battling broadly with the support of you, me, and others. Well, the Chicago Bears quarterback is currying favor with the Lord now. That's the story from ESPN.com. Pope Leo has added a new item to his collection of Chicago sports memorabilia. Caleb Williams sent an autographed jersey to Leo, a Chicago native and the first American-born Pope in the history of the Catholic Church. The jersey gifted through Williams's Caleb Cares Foundation and presented to Leo by Brian Birch, the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See on the 4th of July. Williams inscribed his number 18 with AMDG, which stands for Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam, a Latin phrase that translates to for the greater glory of God. It's a nod to Williams's high school, Gonzaga High School, College High School in Washington, D.C., which was founded by the Jesuits in 1821. All joking aside, really cool story, ESPN.com, available right now. And lastly, from the National Football League, for now, the Giants were seen as a potential landing spot for running back Jeremiah Love in the first round of this year's draft, but they never had a chance to consider him while on the clock because Arizona made Love the third overall choice. It doesn't sound like that's an issue for new Giants head coach John Harbaugh. Pro Football Talk on the news that Harbaugh is talking up Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scadaboo. Scadaboo scored 7 touchdowns in 8 games as a rookie, coming off a serious ankle injury, but Harbaugh expressed little concern about his ability to pick up where he left off. I thought he was just what you saw, downhill runner, tone setter type runner. He's a tough tackle. That's what you look for. How many guys can make yards where they're not supposed to make yards on their own? Seems to me he was the kind of guy at Arizona State and the exact same guy that I saw on tape last year. You guys know better. You watched him up close and personal. He is a top tier back and he's planning on playing that way again this year. And that should be great news for fans of the Giants, fans of Cam Scadaboo. The running style is amazing. Retro throwback. Hopefully stays healthy, but man, what a style. And John Harbaugh, his new head coach, is a fan of his prospects moving forward in recovery from a very tough ankle injury. That's the latest and greatest from the National Football League here on a Monday. When we come back, we're going to dive deep into what you may have missed out of the NBA. Free agency signings to be. What makes sense for LeBron James, Jaylen Brown? That trade is interesting. Shaking up the pecking order in the East, I'd say. We'll dive right in to more from the NBA. Free agency latest, trade rumors and targets, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. When the Monday edition of Overtime returns after this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Monday, July 6th edition of Overtime. Hope everybody had a fun, happy, safe, and healthy weekend. And certainly happy to be back in the studio C with you this week. We'll be chatting with New Augustana softball head coach Colleen Powers tomorrow on the show. Hopefully Coach Erica Butte sometime soon. With the volleyball program, busy week ahead, including some off-season chats centered on the Yotes and the Jacks later on this week. And a busy start to the month of July. Well, it was a busy start to the NBA offseason, post-draft offseason, as we saw another shocking trade for superstar wing Jaylen Brown. The Sixers came calling, and just one day after swinging that trade, they've reportedly entered the mix for the sweepstakes of LeBron James, attempting to pitch the star on a trip to Philadelphia. According to Shams Charania just last week, the Golden State Warriors, Cavaliers, and Heat are the other known suitors for James, who is expected to take his time before deciding on the next destination to prolong his historic 23-year career. Sixers pulled off a blockbuster on Wednesday when they agreed to trade veteran wing Paul George, two first-round picks and two second-round picks to the Celtics for Brown. According to Shams Charania, the 29-year-old Brown just finished sixth in MVP voting this past year, averaged 29.7 rebounds and 5 assists per game in 71 games. Jaylen Brown's a really good young player. Paul George at a time was a really good young player. Not anymore. Older player, limited value, but you get Jaylen Brown in Philly. And right now, you've got Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Jaylen Brown, VJ Edgecombe. Suddenly, I like Philly. Do you like Philly in the NBA? Because that feels like a pretty darn good team now. With the departure of Paul George and the addition of Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Brown's going to be ticked off and have an opportunity to take some pot shots and some literal shots throughout the season against his former team, Boston, in the same conference. I don't know about that from a Celtics perspective, but what you think about right now is where the Sixers stand up next to the Celtics. Are they better than them on paper today? Hard to say. But Philly's got the fifth best odds to win the NBA Finals next year after that trade, trailing the Spurs and the Thunder, who now have identical odds at plus 270. Knicks, some respect, a hat tip to the NBA champions, plus 850. Celtics plus 1300. Sixers plus 2000. To me, that margin is a little bit wider than it should be. I think they're closer. I think Boston's a little bit better today, but I feel like that could be a little closer. Minnesota is the eighth rated team right now in odds, tied for seventh, actually, with a smattering of teams as things get muddy beyond the top five. So that's the latest there on LeBron James and the Philadelphia 76ers. But let's talk about LeBron and the other landing spots. 3 days after LeBron informed the Lakers that he'll be continuing his career elsewhere, his agent Rich Paul made two things abundantly clear. His client has options, and the hype around his decision is only the beginning. Again, yeah, we're about to get the decision part five. Paul, on an episode of the Game Over podcast with Max Kellerman, released on Friday of last week, used a whiteboard and pointer to illustrate a bevy of teams that James could join and weighed the pluses and minuses of each situation. On a previous appearance on the Pat McAfee show, Paul said 10 to 12 teams have contacted him about LeBron James, and on the whiteboard, Paul seemingly referenced every single one. So it leads you to the question, where's the best fit? What makes the most sense? What's a good deal for LeBron? Multi-year, single year, what is it? Well, that's all up for debate here, but if you look at LeBron James's next team odds, prediction markets, Kalshi's market right now, courtesy of Yahoo Sports, has the warm and fuzzy tug it on your heartstrings reunion in Cleveland as the favored most likely outcome. Minus 127 is the likelihood of a third stint in Cleveland. That's the front-running team. Golden State, which would be a lot of fun, plus 450, has the second best odds. That's Steph Curry, Draymond Green, of course, Jimmy Butler, if he sticks around, and LeBron James. The old guys, do it again. That would be a cool landing spot. Miami, now with Giannis, plus 800 at Kalshi. That's the third most likely team. Philly, fourth. Minnesota, fifth. But still a big long shot. Plus 1,600 is where it's paying out right now. What it's paying out. Other teams in the mix, according to Kalshi, Knicks, Nuggets, Spurs, all under a 10% probability. That's the LeBron James sweepstakes. And yes, it's 2026. We're still talking about the LeBron James sweepstakes into the summer. The New York Knicks agreed to a one-year, $3.9 million contract with veteran center Andre Drummond. Over the weekend, the move comes on the heels of former Knicks backup center Mitchell Robinson getting a deal done with the Boston Celtics. His deal there, 3 years, $48 million. So bargain bin replacement, 1 year, $4 million, replacing Mitchell Robinson off of the title, getting 3 years and $48 million. The Lakers are not just saying goodbye to LeBron James either. They're trading center DeAndre Ayton to the Wizards for guard Jaden Hardy and 2 second-round picks coming up in 2031 and 2032. L.A., which agreed to a sign-and-trade with the Jazz for center Walker Kessler earlier this week, as in last week, they'll search for a backup big man on the market. And other names still out there, Jonas Valanciunas and Kevin Looney, among those being considered, according to Shams Charania. Lastly, from the NBA for now, Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors are expected to start contract extension talks this week in Toronto after the trade becomes official and the two-time finals MVP will do so with a new agent. Leonard has hired Harrison Gaines of Slash Sports as his new agent to oversee negotiations, according to ESPN. Gaines will meet with the Raptors officials in Toronto over the coming days to discuss the future of the player who has one season and $50 million remaining on his deal. Gaines has worked closely with Leonard over the past year as a business attorney, and now you got a new agent heading into a new situation, potentially new contract situation in the days, weeks, and months ahead. That's the latest from the NBA. Certainly a lot of movers and shakers and a lot of talk centered up on the future of one LeBron James. Lots of landing spots. Is there a place that you think makes the most sense? Is it Minnesota? I'm not so sure, but we will see about what is ahead there. By the way, we did miss one additional thing. Rui Hachimura staying in Los Angeles, but moving from the Lakers to the Clippers as of this past weekend. Time now to finish up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Monday.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side? Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example? Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, well, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We start with the good news, and that is the return of a generational talent in the NHL. Alex Ovechkin, the NHL's career leader in goals, has decided to return for the upcoming season as he again has his sights set, maybe, on being the career leader in not just goals, but points in the NHL's history. The Capitals announced on Thursday of last week that Ovi has signed a one-year contract with an average annual value of $4.25 million. Ovechkin's new deal carries $1 million in base salary, $3.5 million in a signing bonus, and he'll earn $4.75 million bonus if he plays at least 10 games, which would increase his total salary to nearly $9 million. Other good news, the tennis world has got a lot of parity these days. On the men's side, Taylor Fritz, who's underway right now on ESPN TV at Wimbledon, he's the only American remaining. On the women's side, as of this morning, there were three American ladies remaining. In a matchup of two of the hardest hitters on the tour, Naomi Osaka outslugged top-ranked and number one seed Aryna Sabalenka to reach the Wimbledon quarterfinals for the first time just yesterday. Sabalenka, who's taken a few shots lately, few early exits, earlier than expected exits at majors, did so yesterday. She had beaten Osaka in all three of their previous matches this year, including at the same stage at the French Open last month. Osaka had never beaten a top 10 player at a non-hard court event, standing at 0-13 in those matches, and that changed yesterday. Really good news for Osaka and the Wimbledon fans there looking for some fresh blood at the top team, not Team USA, but the United States. Again, three women still in the field as of this morning. Just one man, Taylor Fritz, on your TV right now at ESPN. Well, I'm going to say bad news. No comment on the hire here, but Nebraska fans might be chuckling and saying, ha-ha, good luck, Badger fans. Sean Eichhorst is returning to his home state after heading back to the Big Ten as Wisconsin's athletic director. Badgers made the hire back on the 1st of July, a decade after Nebraska fired Eichhorst from the same position. Wisconsin announced the selection of Eichhorst on Wednesday of last week. Most recently worked as Texas's deputy AD and chief operating officer. And the hiring of Eichhorst comes 2.5 months after longtime Badger AD Chris McIntosh stepped down over a new to take over a newly created position in the Big Ten office. And Deputy Commissioner Marcus Sedbury was the interim AD. Now it's going to be Sean Eichhorst, a return home, if you will, to Madison and the state of Wisconsin. Eichhorst was an AD at Miami for 2 years, Nebraska for a 5-year stint, took over at Nebraska after the retirement of Tom Osborne, was fired in the fall of 2017, shortly after the infamous loss to Northern Illinois. A stint at Nebraska included the 2014 firing of football coach Bo Pelini, hiring of Mike Riley. Riley went 93-80 in 14 years at Oregon State, was just 19-19 in 3 seasons at Nebraska. And now Sean Eichhorst is the less than inspired hire at the University of Wisconsin. I can say that as a Badger fan through and through. I would have liked to see a couple of other names in the fold, but we'll wait and see. You know, different spots, different strokes for different folks. We'll see what works out here. Eichhorst has worked for the Badgers athletic department before under Barry Alvarez as AD. He was born in Lone Rock, Wisconsin, which is about 45 miles northwest of the Madison campus. I wish the Badgers the best. You know that, but certainly interesting hire of a rival who flamed out with Nebraska. We'll see if better things are in the fold in Madison for the Badger athletic department. And lastly here, bad news to get to. Longtime college football coach Jim Walden, who played quarterback in the Canadian Football League before leading Washington State to a bowl game and spending 9 seasons at Iowa State, passed away late last week at the age of 88. The two schools announced his passing on Friday. No cause of death was given. Walden was born and raised in Aberdeen, Mississippi. Played quarterback in junior college before transferring to Wyoming, where he played for future Nebraska coach Bob Devaney. Also led the Cowboys to 2 championships in the old Skyline Conference. Walden chosen by Cleveland in the NFL draft and Denver in the AFL draft in 1960. But he chose instead to play north of the border for the BC Lions because he was offered more money. Also played for Calgary and Edmonton before getting into coaching. Ultimately, Jim Walden passing away late last week at the age of 88 years old. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. That is our show. We've got a tremendous week lined up, and it continues tomorrow with our introduction to the new leader of the Auggies softball program. Colleen Powers will be in the studio tomorrow. Very excited for that conversation. More talk about the Yotes and the Jacks and so much more. And we also headline and highlight Thunder in the Valley coming up really, really soon. That's this weekend across the border in Rock Valley. Opportunity to win some tickets later on this week on a busy week of overtime. We'll talk to you when the Tuesday edition comes rolling around right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.